1 Timothy chapter number 5, the message you'll notice is entitled, Young People, Caleb, can you grab me a handout? Young People Who Make an Impact. Young People Who Make an Impact. What a great time for this message to come. Wow, you know, with youth camp just finished up, it was my privilege to be, if you need a handout, just lift your hand up high, or ushers will bring you one. But it was my privilege to be able to go to youth camp, to be able to preach out there Thursday night. What wonderful young people we have at this church. I tell you, I'm just so proud of them. We've got some incredible teenagers at this church that just have a very tender heart. Hey, you know what? There are no perfect young people in our church. You know why? Because there are no perfect parents. I'm one of them, amen. And there are no perfect people, period. But we got some great young people at our church. And you know, Satan desires to convince young people that their actions carry no consequences, and that their actions really have no real impact. Satan says to young people, you know, just kind of live and let live. As the Bible says, eat, drink, and be merry, party, you know, because, you know, tomorrow we die. So, you know what? Do what feels good and live to please yourself, and don't worry about what people think are destructive behaviors, because you're only hurting yourself anyway. I mean, you're not hurting anybody else. And of course, none of those statements are in fact true. They're all lies that are designed to bring young people into bondage and to destroy their lives. The truth is this, and this is true of young and old, is that your life does in fact have impact. It has impact not just on yourself. No, your impact goes beyond you. You have impact on those that are around you. And as a believer, your life and your actions have the ability to either help or to hinder the cause of Christ. Your actions and your behavior have the ability to either help or to hinder the cause of Satan out there in the world today. And now, the text that we are coming into here deals with the issue of young ladies, and specifically it deals with the issue of young ladies who have been made a widow. Their husband has died. Now, you say, you know, I really don't know any young ladies who are widows, and it's certainly not as prevalent in our society. Us, you know, we're not a third world country, and we've got, you know, good life expectancies here, but yet in other parts of the world, we know that this is still an issue, and it was very much an issue in Paul's day. And so Paul is dealing in this chapter, he's dealing with the issue of widows, and he's instructing the church. He says, look, if a lady is a widow, the church should not consider taking her on for financial support unless she is at least 60 years old. And here's the reason why. Look with me down at verse number 11. All right, let's look at 1 Timothy 5:11. He says, but the younger widows refuse. In other words, refuse financial help. He says, because when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. Let me explain what that means. It appears that the widows in Paul's day that were needy, they were needy. They would make a spiritual commitment to Christ to serve the church wholeheartedly with their lives, and then the church in turn would meet that widow's physical and material needs. Paul says, you know, it's not a good idea to take the younger widows into that list of widows that the church is going to help financially, because he said what's going to happen, they're going to be tempted to go back on that commitment to Christ. They're going to probably end up getting remarried. Therefore, they were not to be considered. But then Paul goes on to give instruction to young ladies on how they can live a godly and an exemplary life. Very, very, very helpful, and it's very instructive. Now, why did Paul want young ladies to live a godly and exemplary life? Look at the end of verse number 14. Look at the end of verse number 14. He says, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Can anybody in here tell me who is the Christian's adversary? Satan is. And he says, I want young ladies to live this way. Why? So that they don't give an occasion, so that they don't give Satan the opportunity to be able to have an impact, and it will and end up helping Satan basically in his cause. The same thought is over there in Titus 2:5, where he's talking to young ladies, and he says, young ladies, you need to live this way. Why? That the word of God be not blasphemed. In other words, our life has impact. Your life has impact. Young people, your life has impact. It has impact either for good or for bad. Your life has impact for Christ or for Satan. How can your life make a positive impact for Christ? There's three principles I want to give you. Again, the context is young ladies, but certainly it applies to young men. And I believe that all of us of all ages will also be influenced and impacted by these principles. The first thing I want to give you is this, church. Write this in your handout. He said, you can make an impact, you young people, through your godly work. Your godly work. One of the greatest fears that Paul had for these young ladies that were widows, he said, I fear that you're going to learn to be idle. The word idle means inactive, and it means lazy. Look at verse 13. He says, and withal they, these young ladies, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house. He said, I'm concerned that if the church just takes on these young ladies and meets all their needs and they've got no obligations, that they will end up being idle and they're going to end up getting into trouble. How many of you have ever heard this expression? Idle hands are the devil's workshop. You say, yeah, I know that. Where's that at in the Bible? What chapter and verse is that in the Bible? Well, it's not in the Bible, all right? But yet, the principle is there in the Bible that idle hands are the devil's workshop. The idea is of a person who wastes their time in a non-productive manner. There are two different times that Paul equates idleness with becoming a busybody, that is, becoming consumed with other people's business and being consumed with other people's lives. He says, if you're idle, you're in danger of becoming a busybody. Look in your handout at 2 Thessalonians 3:11. He said, for we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all. They're not involved in productive behavior. He says, they became busybodies. Look at verse 13. Go back to our text, 1 Timothy 5:13. He says, and withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and what? Busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. In your handout it says, a lack of productive activity leads people into sin. Now, you know, that got some amen. I got a couple pastors in here. I ought to hear some amens on that, you know. You got to just sit here and look at me. I said a lack of productive activity leads people into what? Sin. Can I get an amen? It does. Get you in trouble. When you're not busy doing the right thing, it can really get you into trouble. This is so applicable to today. So many young people today do not possess a good work ethic. Did you notice it says they learn, he said, verse 13, they learn to be idle. They learn. How do you learn something? You learn it by repetition. You know, and so these young ladies, young people in the text, they have learned by repetition. They have learned to be idle. So many young people today struggle with this, having a good work ethic. I mean, there's a lot of young ladies, man, I tell you what, they'd rather just surf the web and spend time on Facebook. They'd rather just email everybody and text everybody they know, send pictures, you know, unbelievable, you know. Kiki, 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 kiki. What in the world? I was, Denise and I, we in the family, we were gone, you know, all on vacation, and we were staying in this hotel, and we're on this, we got a balcony, you know, so I'm out on the balcony, and of course, there's a building over here, and, you know, everyone's, you know, doing stuff, it's busy, and I'm out there on the balcony, I'm drinking my coffee, and here's some lady, I don't know, she may have been a teenager, young, college, I don't know, she's over there on her balcony, and I lie not, for 30 minutes solid, all that girl did was go with her camera, kick, kick. I thought, man, if that is not today's society. So they're taking pictures of her face. And I'm thinking, man alive, I think she overestimates people's interest. What do you think, huh? It's like, who cares? Who gives a rip? I thought, man, why a selfie, I guess. I thought, man, what a exactly right name for that, you know, a self. It's all about self, you know. And everybody just wants to see me. Click, click, you know. And I'm thinking, man. And that's young people today. They'd rather just take pictures, send pictures, look at everybody else's pictures. Busybodies. That's exactly what he said. You learn to be idle and you become a busybody. And by the way, some of the young men, I cannot let them off the hook, all right? There's a lot of young men, they'd rather play video games than work. And I try to tell young teen guys, there is no future in that. I don't believe you're going to have a career being a video game player. I don't see too much call out there today for video game players, you know, in the jobs wanted, you know. And I'm thinking, there's no career in that, guys. You know, and again, this stuff's okay in moderation, but when we are constantly idle, the devil will be more than happy to find things to occupy our time. And it will be all the things out there that he's got that are of no redeeming value. You know, this country's in trouble because fewer and fewer young people understand the meaning of the word work. And I talk to business owners all the time. And they're like, man, it is hard to find anybody that wants to work today. They said, man, they want a paycheck at the end of the week. They want a paycheck, but they don't want to work. He said, in fact, I've had so many business owners tell me, they'll say, Pastor Dan, it isn't even a matter of finding somebody who will work. He said, we can't even find somebody who will show up on a regular basis for work. We can't even find young people who will just consistently show up when they're supposed to show up for work. They're here a day or two, and then you won't see them. They won't show up, you know. Young people, take a little bit of advice from somebody that's just a little bit older than you. Just a little bit. Oh, Denise said a lot. Make a decision. You know what? Just make a decision in your heart. I'm going to spend less and less time in all these things that are time killers. I'm going to spend less and less time with all the social media outlets, and I'm going to spend less and less time on the video games thing, and I'm going to spend more time in good, honest, profitable work. Idle hands are the devil's workshop. Young ladies and young men, let your life be a testimony because of your godly work. He said they learn to be idle, wandering about, house, busybodies. No, he says, let your life be a testimony of your godly work. Have a work ethic. Learn to enjoy working and then seeing the accomplishments of those of that work. Number two, your life can have impact. Number two, by your godly mouth. Your godly mouth. What happens when a young person is not actively engaged in profitable behavior? Well, we read it. Verse 13, look at it again. He says, and with all they learn to be idle. What happens? Wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but he says, tattlers also and busybodies. And then look at the last phrase. He says, they're speaking things which they ought not. They become tattlers, they become busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. Paul talks about ladies Somebody, he says, these ladies here, he says, you take them into the number, the church pays all their bills. He said, before long, he said, they're going from house to house and they're running their mouths. And today, people do not have to go physically from house to house to spread gossip. They can go house to house to house to house. They can cover a lot of ground in a matter of seconds via their computer or phone. They don't have to go house. I mean, back in Paul's day, if you wanted to be a busybody and you wanted to know everybody's business, you had to go over here and, hey, can I come in and talk? And then you had to go over here, you know, in a... Hey, can I come in? Let's talk. Then you had to go over to another house across town. Hey, you want to talk? You won't believe what I heard across town. They don't have to do that anymore. They can just get on the old phone. They can cover a lot of houses, can't they, in just a few seconds. They can get in a lot of people's business in just a few seconds. When you become a busybody in other people's business, would y'all agree with me that you inevitably end up saying things which you shouldn't say? And one of the keys, there's a verse that's in your handout. Look at it. Proverbs 10:19. Can we turn this up a little bit? It seems very weak to me. Proverbs 10:19. It says, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. Say that last part with me. But he that refraineth his lips is wise. You know what he's saying? He's saying one of the keys to a godly mouth is to practice shutting it more. That's what he's saying in a nice way. You want a godly mouth? Practice shutting it more. Wise men think without talking. Fools talk without thinking. But I got to tell you, this does not just apply to verbal spoken words. There's great power in the written word. And today, people speak through their phones, and texting, and they speak through their computer keyboard, and oh, how they talk. And people will sit behind their keyboard or they'll sit behind their phone and they'll say things that they would never say to somebody's face. And that is such an incredible danger that you need to beware of. Never type something that you would not want to say verbally. What a shame when people resort to Facebook to gossip. And they resort to Facebook to slander another person. And they resort to anonymous this or that to, you know, on the computer to criticize somebody. That is wrong and that is sinful. I know you're not going to hear this in the world, and I know this is perfectly acceptable behavior in Satan's world system, but somebody's got to tell you the truth. That's wrong. It's wrong and it's sinful. It's not right. It is not okay for you to talk about somebody and be a busybody in somebody's business just because you're doing it through your phone or your computer. That doesn't make it right. What a testimony it is when a young lady is discreet, when a young lady demonstrates a godly, Christ-honoring mouth, when a young man demonstrates a godly Christ. It's an impact. I mean, you notice young people like that. You know, when a young lady has a godly, Christ-honoring Facebook page, when a young lady, you could read her texts from the past week and they're godly, they're Christ-honoring. She speaks gracious and kind words that edify, that build up other people. You know, there's a verse about the virtuous woman. It's in your handout. Look at it with me. Proverbs 31:26. It says, she openeth her mouth with, number one is what? Wisdom. You got a woman, man, a young woman who just opens her mouth and wisdom comes out. That's special. Then look at the rest of the verse. And in her tongue is the law of what? Kindness. Man, what a difference. I heard about a boy. How many of you remember that? Some of you that are older, some of you young people won't remember this. How many of you older folks in here remember back here in Daytona when you would go to a restaurant, what's the very first thing they would ask you when you came in? Smoking or non-smoking. Of course, now it's completely outlawed in other states. They still have smoking and non-smoking sections. And in fact, I was in one recently. I'm like, wow, okay, I haven't seen that in a long time. I've never have understood smoking and non-smoking, like smoke doesn't travel. You know, I'm like, I don't get that, you know. But you know, they still do that in other states. It used to be here. You used to be able to say smoking or non-smoking. And there was a busboy at a restaurant, young teenage boy, is a busboy. And on Sundays, his boss would usually take, you know, double the rooms, and he would make them non-smoking. And that's because all the Christians would come there after church to eat. And so they would double up on their non-smoking space. And the busboy made the comment to his boss. He said, man, I'll tell you something. He said, them church people may not smoke, but they sure do gossip. He told his boss, he said, man, if we had a non-gossip section, he said, I don't know if anybody'd be in there. When y'all go to the restaurant today, ask for the non-gossip section, all right? She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. By the way, can there be poison in our tongue? Yeah, the Bible says that you can have poison in your tongue. And it can come out through your Facebook, it can come out through your texting, it can come out through your emails, it can come out in a lot of different ways. But he says, you want a young person who makes a real positive impact? Man, they just have a positive impact on the cause of Christ. They have a godly work, they have a godly mouth. And then number three, he says they have a godly home. A godly home. And again, the context here is young ladies who have married, now they're widowed. But he says in verse 14, look at it. He says, I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. I preached on sexual purity Thursday night out at camp to the teenagers. And I said, you know what? Just keep things in the order that God gave them and you'll be all right. And the order is fall in love, get married, then you have sex, then you have children. When you try to reverse the order, you're going to end up in trouble every time. Just keep the order where God put it. You know, just do things God's way. Follow the divine order and you'll be all right. He says, I want the younger women to marry, then bear children. And then he says, guide the house. And if you'll do this, you give none occasion to the adversary, Satan, to speak reproachfully. The idea here is that if the young ladies will do what the verse says, it'll keep them from trouble, and it'll keep Satan from getting an advantage against the work of Christ and against the church. The world completely demeans the incredible and the powerful work of verse 14. This isn't a verse that you're going to hear preached on a lot. This isn't a verse you're going to hear on CNN or Fox News. This isn't a verse that you're going to hear talked about at school. This isn't something you're going to hear at college. The world completely demeans that. If a young lady's goals and dreams center around the things in that verse that you just read, she's made to feel stupid and worthless. And that is, of course, Satan's trick and Satan's ploy to undermine the home. The idea of that verse is that the young lady who marries and has children, the idea of it is, you know what? That's a priority to her. That's her number one priority, is to provide a loving home in which her family is well taken care of. If you look at a verse in your handout, Titus 2:4 says the same thing. He said, Paul said, hey, you older ladies that know, you know, from experience, you know about this, maybe because of mistakes you made, or maybe because you lived a godly life. You know the truth, older women. And look at that verse. He says, the older women, he says that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. And the next verse talks about them being keepers at home. That is what your priority should be. Now look up here. We know that God has given the man the responsibility of leading his wife, leading his family in a godly, Christ-like way. We know that the man has been given that responsibility of godly leadership. But it's interesting that he says it's the wife who guides the home day in and day out. She sets the temperature. of the home. She turns that house, four walls and a roof, and a slab of cement underneath you. She turns that slab of cement, the four walls and the roof, she turns that house into a home. And all three of these points that we've talked about, a godly work, a godly mouth, a godly home, I want you to notice how they all three come together here. Many young ladies enter marriage without a good work ethic today. And as a result, they're more interested in other people's business than they are their own home. And they're used to being served, not serving. And I want to make one thing very clear this morning. To provide a godly, clean, loving home is W-O-R-K. Keeping a nice, clean home for their family, cooking nutritious, well-balanced meals, seeing that the family has clean clothes to wear, being actively engaged in your kids' schooling, both academically and spiritually, encouraging her husband in his work, being an example in serving others in need in the church body, it is work to keep up a home and take care of a family. It's work. I get tickled at young ladies who say, "Oh, I just want a baby. They're so cute. I want a baby. I want to be able to hold it. They're just so cute. Oh." And you know what they find out? That little angel is W-O-R-K. Whew. We babysat Landon yesterday. It's still work. It's been a long time since we've had a baby, but it's still work. It's precious work, but it's work. I adore my mother today. She's 81. She just had a birthday, and we were able to go through on vacation and see her there for her birthday. And I adore her today. I adore her for her incredible homemaking skills. You know, I did not appreciate the work or the sacrifice as a child or a teenager, but I sure do today. I called her up on the phone when I was preparing this message, and I said, "Mom," I said, "you know, you made our house a home." I said, "Thank you so much for all that you did." And her comment to me was, she said, "Honey, that was the only thing that was important to me. I just loved you kids so much, and I was so proud of you. I just wanted to make a loving home for you." I can tell you that's all my wife ever wanted. She's bright, intelligent, educated. But all she ever wanted is, she said, "I just wanted to have a home, a family, a godly place for my kids, encourage my husband. I wanted to be a wife and a mother." And she's the glue that keeps everything together at our house. I was reminded of that this morning. I was at the house. It's about 8 o'clock this morning. I looked in the crock pot. Of course, she's got lunch going. You know, it's 7-something this morning, so that we'll have a nice, nutritious meal after church. And so she's got the food going in the crock pot. And I looked in there, and I said, "Ooh, wow, we're having pot roast today, huh?" She looked at me, and she went, "That's chicken." It was raw. I couldn't tell the difference, you know. It had spices all over it, okay? It was covered in spices and things. And she's like, "Oh, brother." She just shakes her head, you know. She's a master at what she does. A master. What's Paul trying to get across here? You know, one of the things I do when I study for my messages is I always look at the text and I read it and I reread it and I reread it and I reread it before I dig in and start studying. And I say, what's the point he's trying to get across here? How can a young, and I think the point he's making is he's teaching young ladies how to make a positive impact for Christ. He said, you do these things that you don't give the adversary a chance to reproach the cause of Christ. This is the way you make a positive impact as a young person. And here it is. He said, through your godly work. You got a good work ethic. You're a hard worker. You got a godly mouth. In your tongue is the law of kindness. And you've got a godly home. Home is the number one priority for that young lady. Making sure that she has got a godly home for her family. The result, he said, man, it's a testimony. He said the adversary has no way that he can speak reproachfully. It silences the adversary when you have a young lady like this. Young people who make a positive impact.